Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Welcome to part two of Plot Smokers, Tom McCaffrey's funny podcast that I joined recently to recount the plot of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Last week, we played part one. This is part two of Plot Smokers, the Ferris Bueller episode. I'm in Barcelona at this moment, as you're listening to this, very likely in some sort of jail. Maybe some sort of hostile detention center deep in an underground basement below the city. Who knows? Who's to say? Hopefully I'm alive. I'm probably alive. If you're listening to this, it's likely that I'm alive. Let's put it that way. Anyways, thank you for listening to part two. This moment, we were talking about the scene in Ferris Bueller when they're in the garage where Cameron's dad's nice car is. And they're fucking... Tom knows this movie inside and out. And he knew like every fucking plot point. I was completely stoned, just getting grilled and interrogated by him. But I think I held up under the pressure. Enjoy part two, you fucking Jones. Thanks for listening to the Danny Palmer Show. Woo.
So, all right. And then, so that they're at the garage and like what happens at the garage when they have the car back? Do you remember?
Yeah. They come up with this brilliant scheme to put a brick on the gas pedal and put the, like, jack the back of the car up and then put a brick in the gas pedal and put it in reverse and it'll undo the miles.
And then what happens?
Then the weight of the car is stronger than the jack and the car falls down and then it goes through the glass exterior window and crashes.
But why does that happen? How does it fall down?
I think that's just because the jack wasn't heavy enough to hold the car. No, I don't know. Did something else happen?
Yeah, there's like, it's one of the biggest moments where like Cameron...
I don't need the insults, by the way.
Cameron has a breakdown about his dad. Because remember you were talking about the art before we stared?
Oh, sorry.
He's really upset when he looks at the art because he feels not seen. He gets mad at the car and he starts talking about his dad. And
yeah, that's right.
Starts hitting the car, starts kicking
it. Oh, he does it. He kicks the front bumper. I remember that.
Yeah.
And then Ferris and Sloan are like, Cameron, no. And then doesn't Ferris like stop Sloan from stopping him? Like, no, let it happen. This needs to happen.
Kind of, yeah. He kind of does.
Right?
Yeah. And then it goes through the glass, right?
Yeah, which is also a great scene.
Yeah, and then what happens? Just what happens after it goes through the glass?
I think then... You would think that Cameron would be about to be super pissed, and I guess he is for a minute, but then he just like decides like fuck it, and then just hits this totally cool, right? Something like that. Doesn't he gain his confidence right then?
He does. It's like a big turning point in his character where he's like going to stand up to his dad for the first time.
Yeah,
he says.
Did they show him standing up to his dad in the movie? Sorry,
no,
they don't.
No. What happens after? And then Sloan and Ferris leave, and what happens?
Sloan and Ferris leave.
Does something happen where like the sister gets in trouble?
Oh yeah. Oh, so the whole scene with the principal at home, he goes over to Ferris's house to bust Ferris, and then Jeannie sees him and knocks him out with a coffee mug.
No.
And then he leaves his wallet there.
He does leave his wallet. He doesn't, there's no, he just she kicks him in the face or something.
Oh yeah. Oh wait, but I'm sorry. I'm thinking before that he dropped a coffee cup on a dog to knock a dog out. It's like, dude, that's pretty intense.
No, he doesn't knock him out with a coffee mug.
A dog?
He
knocks a dog out.
He does knock the dog out, but he doesn't use a coffee. Is someone delivers flowers to Ferris?
Oh, sorry.
And he knocks him out with that or something.
What
happens with the sister? Does the sister go like get arrested by any chance?
Yeah, because Jeannie goes home and she sees the principal there. And then she's like, what the fuck? I'm calling the police. And then the police come and he's not there. So then they arrest her for like making a false report.
Yeah.
And then she goes to jail. And then Charlie Sheen walks in and she ends up like fucking Charlie Sheen.
I mean, it's not a bad move. Yeah, I mean, she's not in jail, but she's just kind of like, do you remember what he says to her, Charlie Sheen?
He's, I don't know, like something like, if you must be bad in there, you'll be bad out there or something. It's some like piety remark.
But he says what?
I don't know. I forget. Doesn't he? He says something like, real like short and piety. That's like a pickup line, right?
The first thing he says is he goes, "Drugs?" And then she goes, "No, thanks, I'm straight." And then he goes, "No, I meant, are you in here for drugs?"
Yeah, that's right.
And then she goes, "Why are you here?" And he goes, "Drugs."
Dude, that is hilarious.
And then she goes, "I don't know why I'm here." And he goes, "Why don't you go home?" And then she goes, "Why don't you stick your thumb up your butt?" You remember really? This?
No, not that.
Okay. So then...
Do they make out?
What?
Sorry, do they make out?
Yeah, they make out.
Yeah, they do.
And then the mom comes and picks her up.
Okay, right.
Let's pick it up from there. So what's going on? Ferris is on his way home, right?
Yeah. And then the principal comes to confront him. And then Jeannie opens the door and she's like...
There's a whole thing. Is there like a whole scene where he's going home or something? Or?
Oh. No, I don't remember.
There's like a 10-minute long chase scene.
Who's chasing who?
He's running home through like all these backyards, remember?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
He runs into the sister and the mom driving home. The sister sees him. So she's racing home to bust him.
Oh yeah.
But he's racing to get home before they get home.
And then he runs to someone's house on the chase.
Yeah. Huh?
Which is a crazy thing to do.
And does he, when he runs through someone's house, does he say anything funny?
I don't remember.
He goes, "No, don't get up." And then they go, "Oh, it smells delicious." And then he runs in the back door and goes, "Dinner's ready." Do you remember what music's playing during that scene?
What music?
Yeah. Like, is how it, like, it goes?
I feel like it's some sort of like, doop, 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 doop. I don't know. No.
Wait, how does it go?
No, I'm not doing that again.
It goes, ooh, bump, bump.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I love that song.
Bump,
bump. Oh, I'm going to listen to that again tonight, dude.
I think you did Seinfeld, actually.
That guy?
What?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then he gets to the house. What happens? Oh, we're almost done. When he gets to the house, what happens?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I don't care. I'm trying to think. I think he bribes Jeannie into being chill or something. And then his parents like give him a hug and like make him dinner or like soup because he's sick.
Yeah. roughly that's sort of what happens, but not at all. Like,
it's not even close.
Well, he gets to the house and the door's locked. And he goes, he picks up the mat and the spare key is gone.
Oh, yeah.
And then he turns and the principal's standing there with the spare key.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, you're going to be in school another year now." And then the sister opens the door and she's like, she lets him in and helps him. The whole point is that the sister has been changed by Charlie Sheen's advice to not be spiteful against her brother, but to actually like help him. And like she's kind of happy at the end.
That's so nice. That's a classic John Hughes kind of movie.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
Yeah, I know. But so this is kind of just telling you this movie. What?
Is that out of scope to say talk about his ouvoir?
So then does he get away with him? Does anyone find out? Or
I think his parents never find out. And Jeannie just lets him off the hook.
What's the last line he says? Like, what's his big catchphrase?
He goes, you know, life moves by pretty quick. You got to stop and look around every once in a while.
Yeah, that's
or you'll miss out.
That's pretty, that right? That's pretty accurate.
Thanks.
Okay, so that's the end of the
plot synopsis either. I remember that. What?
Real quick, there's like a credit scene during the credits. Dude, what happens on that?
I was just about to get into it. This is one of the best parts of the movie. I talk about this like once every few months. It's so great when the credits are rolling and then Ferris is walking down the hall in his like bathrobe and then he stops.
No, not that part. There's a part, whole thing before that.
In the credits?
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's, the principal's going home.
Oh yeah, dragging one shoe or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess there's a bus that stops and he gets on the school bus. The principal.
Oh yeah. Then he's humiliated because he has to ride home on a school bus.
Yeah. Okay. So, and what happens at the way end? The part you were talking about, the bathrobe. What happens?
Oh yeah. So then Ferris turns around and he like looks to the camera like as to look at you in the theater and he's like, "What are you doing? Like the movie's over. Go home." And he gives you this look like, "There's something really wrong with you." That's so funny, dude. Hey, man, just fucking.
Yeah, that's basically it. Okay, so all right, that was pretty good.
He breaks the fourth wall, and the first time in the whole movie that the fourth wall is broken. The first and only time that the fourth wall is broken. Sorry,
that's the first time in the movie he breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah, they never break the fourth
about,
wall.
Like
the
first,
oh no,
first 5 minutes of the movie.
Oh, they did.
Okay. It's actually like the 10th time he does it. Like literally the entire movie has been doing it.
Yeah, what am I talking about? It was way off, Danny.
Don't you remember the whole part where he's like the way to get out of school? And you said with the 5-point plan?
Yeah.
He actually breaks the fourth wall in the first scene.
Right.
Well, do you remember?
You said when he's talking to Sloan about going away to college, he breaks it then too? Well,
that too, yeah.
So there's 3 times when they do that?
No, I'd say he breaks it like 20 times in the movie. It's literally like one of the main staples of it. But anyway.
Conceits?
What?
The main conceits?
Yeah, no, it's just funny that. Okay, so there's a couple of trivia things I'm going to ask you, okay? Are you ready?
Wait, can I just say for a second that like it's kind of bad that I'm the super high one, but I knew the word conceits and you didn't. So just keep that,
you what?
Just keep that in mind. That I knew the word conceits and you didn't. And, you know, I'm the one that's high and you're sober. So that's a little weird for me.
Sure, but I do know that word.
Yeah, well, you didn't use it.
I didn't use it, but I mean, I do know it.
Right.
I'll give you that one.
I'm just kidding. Sorry, I'll be quiet.
It's not a score. But, all right, so here's some trivia questions. All right, so can you, what year did this movie come out?
Oh, man. I want to say like 1986.
Oh, well, that's right. That's right.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I probably read that yesterday.
Can you name 4 actors in the movie?
Fuck, dude. Well, I got Matthew Broderick and Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
And then you told me that other girl.
Who?
Sloan. But I didn't know her beforehand. May something? What did you say her name was?
Well, I mean, I'm asking you the names.
I don't know who the principal is. I don't know who Jeannie is. The dad looks like Kirk Cameron. I mean, the dad from Growing Pains, Alan Thicke, but it's not Alan Thicke.
No, it's definitely not. All right. Jennifer Grey is in it.
Oh, Jennifer Grey is. She's Jeannie?
Yeah.
Okay. She was great.
No one else? All right. Wait, what about Cameron? What's Cameron's name?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I know a story about him, though. Is this not the right time for it?
What is it?
He went to LA after Ferris Bueller's, he was trying to get work and he was like waiting tables. Like he couldn't work after Ferris Bueller. I think, were you the one that told me that?
I think I was, yeah.
Sorry, no, I'm telling you your own stories. But dude, that's crazy.
That is a good story. I actually enjoy that story. I enjoy hearing that story more than I do telling it, apparently.
Good thing I'm here then.
So, okay, this is a thing. Have you ever heard, this is a trivia thing. Something happened the summer this movie came out that was like a big thing involving Matthew Broderick, but it didn't really make, but it's a really big story and it's bad. Something.
Oh,
do you remember?
I know. Yeah. But he had the head-on collision in like England or something. And the people in the other car were killed.
Yeah. And how do you know any connection with me with that?
Yeah, you're the only reason I know that, because I was in your act, you fucking heinous person. Just kidding.
Because I make a joke about how he literally like murdered, or he actually killed two people.
Yeah.
And actually, do you know who was with him when he did that?
Was it Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, it was Jennifer Grey.
Oh, really? Was he dating her?
Yeah, they were dating right after they filmed this.
No way.
Yeah.
So he fucked his sister? Is that a secret fantasy they both
have? I think that they were engaged, actually.
Wow, that's cool.
But
that's
anyway, that
makes sense. That was a big movie in their lives, I'm sure.
Okay, and then this is something I'm going to ask you. Have you ever heard this? This is a theory about the movie that some people speculate online that Ferris Bueller doesn't really exist, and that the whole movie is that Ferris is someone in Cameron's head, like his own Tyler Durden, you know, Fight Club.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Have you ever heard that theory?
No.
What do you think of that theory? That like the whole thing is that Ferris Bueller kind of, because Ferris Bueller isn't a really realistic character. He kind of represents, remember I was saying before, when people watch this movie, they're like, oh, I wish my personality was more like that. And Tyler Durden kind of represents like, this is the kind of person you wish you were in real life. So
yeah, like an alter ego.
So what do you think of that theory that like Ferris Bueller isn't? Do you think that could be true?
No, I don't think it could be true. I mean, I guess you can't prevent someone from interpreting it that way, but I don't think that's what John Hughes meant. That doesn't sound very John Hughes to me.
No, I don't think it's true either, but that is kind of a an interesting theory.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
we don't really like that,
deep with that one.
I want Ferris to be real. What?
I said, yeah, we really went deep with that one. What other trivia can I ask?
Like there's like some really famous quotable lines. Like, do you remember any like Bueller?
Do you remember any like big other quotable lines besides the one you said? Like that people like that maybe exist still in pop culture today.
Oh fuck! Probably if I think about it for a second. Fuck!
Like, was there a teacher that like they kept cutting to and kept kind of saying something?
Oh, the secretary with the red hair? She's hilarious. No, there's a teacher.
No, a teacher, not secretary.
Fuck.
Do you know the name of the secretary?
Oh, Ben Stein.
Yeah. What is he saying? What's one of his lines?
Bueller.
Yeah.
That thing? Okay. Yeah, the Bueller.
Yeah, he just keeps going, Bueller. Bueller.
Dude, how overused has that line been in broader culture?
It has, right?
I wish that people would have never seen that movie just to make that fun that moment remain funny. I guess it is still funny. It's the original one.
Can we? All right, this is one of my last ones. So, can you name Matthew Broderick as a star? Right.
Yeah.
Can you name four other Matthew Broderick movies?
Oh, I bet I can.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to start you off with. I bet you weren't expecting me to pull out Biloxi Blues, but I just did.
No, I wasn't. Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did. Did you?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That one about?
Fuck.
We don't have time.
We go through each of his movies. wait, another one? Oh, fuck, dude.
You can't use this one either.
I can't what?
You can't use Ferris Bueller as one.
Right. I need three besides that. Fuck. I'm blanking, dude. Okay. He hasn't been in a whole lot of movies, has he?
What?
Yeah, thanks. Has he been in a shit ton of movies?
He's been in a lot of movies.
I feel dumb.
Was there anything he was in about wartime or something?
He wasn't in Saving Private Ryan, was he?
No, he was definitely not in that. Was he in something about war games?
Oh, The Red Dawn or something? What's War Games? Is that a movie?
Yes, there's a movie named War Games that he's the star of. You've never heard of War Games?
No, dude. I don't sit in the library in middle school and look up the encyclopedia of movies like you do, bro.
That's literally like one of the biggest movies of the 80s.
War Games? I bet
you've never heard of the movie War Games?
Of the population could tell you what War Games is.
What'd you say?
Sorry. Wait, I bet less than 20%. that less than 20% of the U.S. population could tell you what War Games.
I guarantee you, if the next 10 people that you talk to, if you mention War Games, they'll tell you they love that movie.
I have to say the movie War Games. I just want to say War Games. I think all you said was War Games.
It actually is the movie that made him, sort of. Okay, anyway, what else? Anything else besides War Games? You know what? If you don't know War Games, you don't know any more movies he was in.
All I can think of is Sex and the City, and that's not even a show.
He wasn't even in that.
I know.
Okay, well, I think this has been productive. Can I?
He's dating her.
What?
What?
He's dating her?
I know. They're married, right?
Yeah. Been married to her for like 20 years.
Yeah. You think that's a happy relationship? I doubt it.
Have you heard the rumor that he's gay?
He could be happy. I don't know. No.
You never heard that?
No. What do you think about it? I mean, how would you know?
I don't know. I don't know. When I heard it, I thought it was possible, though. When you think about it, does he seem effeminate to you at all?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's not a right or wrong.
This will be good to put out globally. Great.
Well, no. I mean, I guess I was trying to think if he seemed... I don't know. We can get into that later. But
yeah.
This is my last one. Okay, can you name three other John Hughes movies?
Oh, yes, that I can do.
Okay. War Games.
War Games, too. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Fuck. Was it Roxanne? Not Roxanne. Doesn't he have another Steve Martin one? Fuck.
No. What? There's a lot of high school ones.
Oh, yeah. Like 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink. Yeah, did you do both of those?
What?
Oh, did he do Breakfast Club?
He didn't. He did Breakfast Club. He didn't do Pretty in Pink. He produced Pretty in Pink.
Oh, okay. He directed Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
Okay. And can you Breakfast Club is a great fucking movie.
This will be my last one.
Sorry.
Can you name an actress that was in multiple movies of his, like with red hair?
No shot. Molly Ringwald.
Oh. Why'd you say no shot?
I said no shot and then immediately got it. I don't know.
Do you know, this will be, but this is, can you name the actors in The Breakfast Club?
Judd Hirsch.
No, Judd is right.
It's not Judd Hirsch. Wasn't Judd Hirsch in like...
Yeah, Judd Hirsch was in that high school movie when he was 50. Judd Nelson, who else? Who were the girls in it?
Oh, who's that girl with the dandruff? I forget her fucking name.
Allie something?
Allie McSheedy?
Allie
McSheedy. Is that her name?
I don't, but how did you know it's Allie Sheedy, but where did the Mick fit? Are you saying Allie McBeal instead of Allie?
Probably.
Okay, then this would be my Allie Sheedy was in another movie a year before The Breakfast Club. I think it was her second movie. Can you name it?
Dude, that's an insanely difficult question.
I'll give you a hint.
What?
It's called War Games.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's Ally Sheedy and Matthew Broderick.
Oh my God.
So I think, thanks a lot for doing this. I think we've learned a lot. I think you should go watch War Games.
It sounds scary. I don't think I want to watch it.
No, it's actually a really great movie.
Really? All right, I'll peep it.
Okay, well, all right. I think that's going to be it. I want to thank my guest, Danny Palmer, for taking us through. Or I want to thank Danny Palmer for getting high and listening to me explain Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, it's a real patronizing hour of my life.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Was it fun? I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was fun being high and getting and having me tell you you're wrong.
Yeah. With your glasses on.
Okay, well, so we'll check out Danny. What's your Instagram handle?
Danny Palmer NYC, and that's it. The Danny Palmer Show.
Okay, and then yeah, that's the name of your and rate and review this podcast, and we'll see you on next time on Plot Smokers. See you next time.
There you go. The 2-week podcast invasion comes to a conclusion. I hope that wasn't like a fucking letdown for regular listeners, but hey, it was fresh content. I'm recording this in the very recent past. Things are fine, dude. Things are fucking fine. The Danny Palmer Show is plugging along. I will be returning to America this upcoming Sunday, assuming I'm not in a Spanish prison or have decided to move into some sort of brothel sub-basement where I'm allowed to place my belongings during the week. I don't know how it's going to work out over there. But anyways, thanks for listening. And next week we'll be back with part 3. That's the end of this thing. It's just that's the whole thing. I look forward to returning to the United States of America. It's weird to say that while I'm in America, but that's the case. So, bienvenido a Miami. Is that something? Bon fucking dia, kid. Jen.